Hello, Stuart and Jody here at Carey Baptist Church in Malton. Welcome to all of you who are listening online, those from our church family here more locally and those who are listening from further afield. Let us commit this time into God's care and keeping. Let us pray. Father, as we gather in each of our homes individually, we pray that you would draw near to each one of us, that your Holy Spirit would connect us with each other and with you, and that you would speak to us, that you would minister to us, that you would meet us at our deepest point of need at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jude is going to come now and bring our scripture reading, which is John 19, verses 25 to 27. John 19, verses 25 to 27.
Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home.
Thank you, Judy. Let us pray. Father God, as we seek to reflect upon your word and reflect upon the meaning of this Mothering Sunday, which we are passing through at the moment, that you would draw near to us, that your spirit would enliven us and speak to our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mothering Sunday last year was the first service of lockdown and the first recording that we did. So we've had a whole year now of recordings. It's been a whole year in the church's calendar. And what a strange year it has been. It's a strange Mothering Sunday too, a year on. And on a personal level, I haven't seen my mother in the flesh for a year and a half. The last time I saw her in person was in September 2019, when I was on sabbatical. I did see them this week, my mum and my dad. It was my dad's 81st birthday, and I saw them on Zoom along with my sister and my brother's family as well. So that was good, but it's not the same. Mothering Sunday is usually a time when we see our mothers, if we can. And even for those of us with mothers who are still alive, many of us won't be able to see them. So it has a sad and bitter taste for us this year. And even more so for the mothers involved who can't engage with their children in the way that they would like. Mothering Sunday is a difficult day for many anyway. I always feel this when we have Mothering Day services. There's a danger that we focus on the mothers and not those who feel the loss at that time. For those who feel the absence of mothers who have died, for those who yearn to be mothers but have never been able to become pregnant or find the right partners or have suffered losses in different ways, or those who never really knew their mothers or had mothers who were abusive or inadequate in different ways. When we think of mothers in the Bible, my mind is often drawn to Mary, the mother of our Lord, and all that she went through. I think back to the beginning of Jesus's life when he was a young infant child being brought to the temple by his parents to make that offering of two pigeons or two doves, the poor person's offering to commit their firstborn child into God's love and care. And this is what Simeon says in Luke 2, verse 34. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to be the cause and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your soul too." And we know that that terrible prediction or prophecy came to full fruition, that Mary's soul was pierced through as with a sword. We imagine her seeing her son being tortured to death on a cross, seeing her son's life ebb away in that barbaric fashion, and we can't imagine what it would be like for a mother to see her son suffering and dying in such a way. We can't imagine what Mary's pain was at that time. But even as he was dying, Jesus was thinking of the well-being of his mother. He commended his mother into his disciple, the beloved disciple John's care. John was probably a young man, maybe he was a late teenager. He was there with the other women, so he probably wasn't a man who had a full-grown beard and was seen as a threat. He was there with the women and wasn't seen as a threat. So he was probably quite young in many ways. Probably didn't have a fully grown beard or anything yet. A youngster, a teenager, maybe 17, 18 years old or even less, who knows. But even then, Jesus was thinking about the well-being of his mother and his beloved disciple. He knew they would need each other in the aftermath of his death, that they could comfort and support each other after he had died. They formed a new family. They were a nucleus of the new church, the new family of God. And we likewise, we need each other, as John needed Mary and Mary needed John. We can't make it on our own, and we were never meant to. And that makes the social isolation even harder at the moment. It goes against the grain of our being. We are social animals made to interact with each other. And when we are starved of company, we die a bit. And I have seen and I have heard on the phone people dying a bit physically through lack of exercise and getting out, but also through lack of conversation and social interaction. If the infection levels continue on a downward trajectory, we hope to open again on Easter Sunday, which will be good. But it'll still be strange and less than the full worship experience that we are used to. As we can't yet sing indoors, we'll be masked up, there'll be social distancing, but at least we'll be able to gather together. That is something to give thanks for. And as we look around now, we've come through January and February, which were very difficult months. But spring is in the air and hope is on the horizon. Mary and John were not thinking about the resurrection when they stood with Jesus in solidarity with him in his suffering, in his dying at the cross. But it came nevertheless. And resurrection will come for us too, and is on its way. The resurrection of worship, the resurrection of singing, the resurrection of our social lives, the resurrection of being able to go to live music, go to the theatre, go to live football and rugby, go to festivals, go to pubs. The resurrection of gathering together, eating together, socializing together. And the resurrection of our economy, which is needed, a bounce back from the hit that it's taken in the past year. We at the moment are with Mary and John and the other women beneath the cross. We are literally and metaphorically in the Lenten season, the season of the cross at the moment. But Easter is on the horizon. And Mary, and alongside her, her female companions and friends, and John, who wept and grieved at the cross, and in the days following, would also come to experience the joy of the resurrection, knowing that Jesus was not dead, but was alive forevermore and had broken the bonds of death. It doesn't say so in the Gospels, but I like to think that Jesus appeared one-to-one personally to his mother to reassure her, to comfort her, to tell her that he was alive, that he was more than okay. Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuits, has a meditation in his spiritual exercises, which is a 40-day retreat, 30-day retreat exercise. And he has a meditation when Jesus appears to his mother and the joy that she experiences in that encounter. May Jesus come to all our mothers today, to those who are alive, to comfort and reassure them in this difficult and sad season. And to those who have gone before us, who are already in his nearer presence. Let us spend a few moments now in prayer, praying for, remembering, and giving thanks for our mothers. Loving God, who is both a father and a mother to us, we give you thanks for our human mothers who have cared for us, who have nurtured us, who have loved us, who have supported us. We thank you for them and we commend them into your loving care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stuart and Nikki Jenkins, two members of our congregation, are now going to lead us in some prayers of intercession.
As we pray on this Mothering Sunday, we know we must not just comment on the world, on other people, as if we were spectators with opinions to broadcast. If we want to pray about motherhood, about women in society, about safety on the streets, let us not do so in the abstract. We must pray about real people, including ourselves. Our praying must make us more involved, must show us where the tendrils of each issue enter our own selves. Every word we pray must put us in jeopardy. So help us, God of connection, to pray well. We pray for a woman walking home this week in full daylight who is deliberately intimidated by a couple of teenage boys. They are not very scary, and they are surprisingly young, but she decides it would be unwise to respond to them, to stand up for herself. That evening, in a meeting at church, she is in a minority. She doesn't mind people disagreeing, but she is interrupted twice, and some of the comments she makes are left hanging in the air, as if unheard. After the meeting, three of the men carry on the discussion, but don't include her, even though she has to wait to lock up. At home, she watches the news about the kidnapping and murder of Sarah Everard. And on Sunday, Mothering Sunday, at her church, there are prayers for mothers, prayers of thanksgiving and appreciation. Her son phones up that evening. She doesn't tell him about the incident on the footpath. She hasn't told anyone about it. Help us, we pray, and help the society and the church, which is also us, to know what it really means to say thank you, to call someone a sister, a neighbour, a mother. We praise you, God, that we are drawn into your life to play our indispensable parts. We praise you that everyone can make a difference, and no real difference can be made without everyone, but that together we can build change, become part of the kingdom, part of those who call into being the kingdom. So help us reform the ways we live and think in the light of and by the power of your interweaving love. The subtle changes in our own attitudes and language, the ready expression of commitment and understanding, the long miles of reshaping society. Give us passion for all of these. Show us how far we have come since our grandparents' day, and give us energy for the long road ahead. And on the way, help us celebrate, as part of the final victory, each insight, each action that redeems us and others, that enacts your love and your presence. This man's prayer is inevitably partial and limited, but no less valid if your spirit takes it and makes it a part of your life, in and around and between us. So we offer it. In the name of Jesus, born of a woman, and by the power of the Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Stuart and Nikki, for your prayers. Let us close with a blessing. The blessing of God, life-giver, pain-bearer, love-maker, be with us all, now and always. Amen. So thank you for joining with us, and we'll see you online next week. Go well and God bless.